Hello, my friends. Gia here. I'm so glad you have chosen to tune in to the Creative Spiritual Journey podcast. I want to start off today talking about celebrations. One of my deliberate goals is to celebrate Christ in every season. Let me explain why. 2 years ago, while studying the Old Testament, I learned that the Jewish people celebrate their God, the Messiah, with festivals and holy days throughout the whole year and in every season. Their lives literally revolve around those celebrations. That's awesome. What a good idea. I want to celebrate God in every season. What better thing to celebrate? So, in my quest for seasonal celebrations, of course, I had to look up the definition of celebrate. The older I get, the more fascinated I become with the meaning of words. I love to look up definitions as well as synonyms, antonyms, etymology, and even archaic definitions. So for a moment, let's take a deep dive into the word celebrate. First, have you noticed when you look up definitions on Google, the most common currently used definition pops up at the top? Turns out that definition is often created by the Oxford Dictionary. And it's interesting to note that they update their dictionary 4 times a year. I generally take a cursory look at this definition, then scroll down to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, where I generally find a definition I prefer. Interesting to note that the Merriam-Webster's dictionary is only updated every 10 to 12 years. I find the difference between these two dictionaries interesting. Despite having a written language, despite having dictionaries, listen to how much this word has changed. Here's the Merriam-Webster's number one definition. To perform a sacrament or solemn ceremony publicly and with appropriate rites. Wow, isn't that a significant difference? From a happy day to a solemn ceremony. Let me read a couple more Merriam-Webster definitions. Two. To honor an occasion such as a holiday, especially by solemn ceremony or by refraining from ordinary business. I like that part, refraining from ordinary business. Number three, to hold up or play up for public notice. I like this definition because of the example they used. Her poetry celebrates the glory of nature. That's beautiful. I love the idea of celebrating nature. Now I want to jump down to the synonyms for celebrate. I was surprised by this list. Bless, extol, glorify, magnify, exalt, emblazon, laud, resound, carol, and hymn. That's cool that we can celebrate with song. Here are a couple more. Keep, observe, commemorate. I want to read the example they used for keep because I love it. Keep the Sabbath day by refraining from work. Did you ever think about keep being a synonym for celebrate? What if we said celebrate the Sabbath day by refraining from work? Does that kind of make your eyes light up? Let's celebrate the Sabbath day. Hooray! I love it. Okay, back to this idea of celebrating Christ in every season. I want to have a special holy day each season where I celebrate, bless, exalt, and glorify Christ. I want to do this in a big way. Not big like we celebrate Christmas. That's gotten a little bit out of hand. But with forethought, with planning, I want to do it deliberately. So here we are in spring, and the obvious choice for a spring celebration would be Easter. I've celebrated it my whole life, but now I want to do it more deliberately. Dare I digress here and tell you a little bit about the word Easter? I'm going to do it because I can't resist. Easter is a super old word. No one really knows for sure where it came from. One theory is that it's from the Anglo-Saxon goddess Istra, or Ustra, depending on how you want to say it, which might make sense because we know that a lot of our Christmas traditions come from a similar background. But the theory I like better is the idea Easter comes from the old German meaning east, or an older Latin meaning dawn, both of which tie perfectly into spring. The dawn light from the east is our Christ. He is our light. There is one more definition for Easter that I want to share. This is an adjective describing things toward or near the east. Listen to this sentence written by the Italian poet Ludovico Ariosto. The dawning broke and all the Easter parts were full of light. I think that sentence has forevermore changed how I will think of the sunrise. I already thought they were glorious and beautiful, and I know they are a gift from a loving God. But now a sunrise will always remind me of Easter, the resurrection of Christ, the return of light. Which brings me back to my Easter celebration. I'm not big on candy or cutesy chicks and bunny stuff. Not that I don't like animals, I do. I'm just not cutesy. So here's how I've decided to deliberately celebrate Christ in the season of dawning light we call spring. To explain, I want to use a talk by Emily Bell Freeman entitled Walking in Covenant Relationship with Christ. At one point in the talk, she is addressing someone who might not have a developed faith in Christ, and she says, ask someone you trust who is on the covenant path to introduce you to the Savior they have come to know. Am I the only one that chokes at those words? I mean, I really have to stop and think. Could I introduce someone to God, to the Jesus Christ that I know? This set me to work. I opened a Word document on my computer titled The Christ I Know, with the intention of writing things from the scriptures about the character of Christ. I hadn't gotten very far when I recalled a talk I recently heard at church. The speaker suggested adding the little word because to our prayers to make them more of a living discussion with God. For example, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for my family because they help me feel loved, cared for, and like I belong somewhere. Or, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for this free country because I can make my own choices, I can live wherever I want, and I can worship whoever I want. I've learned to love this little because it genuinely enriches my prayers. One day while praying, I said, I'm grateful for the sunrise I saw this morning because it helps me see that Jesus is an artist, that he loves this world, and that he wants me to love it too. I stopped after saying those words. They surprised me so much. Of course Jesus is an artist. I just never exactly articulated it before. So this idea of seeing Christ's character in a sunrise evolved the God I Know project from the scriptures into the God I Know from the natural world I get to see around me every day. I have created a list of 8 special things I know about God. As part of my Easter celebration, I'm going to text one thing on my list to my family each day of the week before Easter, and one thing on Easter itself, which makes 8. I'm also going to share my list with you. Here we go. Number 1, I already said, the sunrise teaches me that Jesus Christ is an artist. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know about him? The God I know is an artist. 2. This one came from my husband. Jesus is a mathematician because Fibonacci sequences can be found all over nature, including seashells, artichokes, pine cones, flower petals, even hurricanes and galaxies. Just quickly, a Fibonacci sequence is a series of numbers where each number is the sum of the 2 preceding numbers. It starts off small. Think the center spiral of a seashell and gets bigger. The numbers go 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55. Now it starts getting bigger faster. 89, 144, and so on. Those numbers are all over in nature. I think that's cool. The God I know is a mathematician. Number 3, I believe Jesus loves mysteries. I recently walked what is called the Trail of Time. It had plaques along the way that explained petrified river bottoms, rocks with wind and water erosion, and mystery of mysteries, some strange white strata in the rocks. I have no idea how anyone ever figured this out, but some scientists took the challenge and discovered that the white stuff was dinosaur bones. Mystery solved. The God I know likes a good mystery. 4. I was outside sleeping in the tent the other morning. You have to know that I prefer sleeping outside all seasons of the year except, believe it or not, summer, which is too hot. And as I lay there, it was completely silent. There wasn't even a whisper of wind. Then what did I hear? The descending crescendo of a canyon wren. It was magical. Let me play one for you. I love it, right down to the croak at the end. The God I know is a musician. Number 5. There is a herd of deer that come down out of the mountains during the winter and hang out around our property. We have a bird bath out, but found the deer were drinking it dry. So now we have a bucket of water to keep them happy. I love this because it means I get to watch the deer up close. The only deer that I can recognize on sight is a doe whose face is grizzled and gray. It's obvious that she is the matron of the herd, the lone survivor from past seasons. It's amusing to watch her. She is very calm. If I'm walking by, all the other deer are on high alert, but she just keeps grazing. When the other deer are freaking out, trying to decide which side of the road to run to, she is content staying where she is. I even had to laugh one day when I saw her kick a younger deer that was hogging the bucket. I call her Grandma. To me, she represents the wisdom of age. The God I know honors elders. On to number 6. I chose bread. You might say, Gia, bread isn't anything you find in nature. But bread, good bread, is full of nature. Wild yeast and bacteria is what makes bread magic. The Jesus I know is a microbiologist. I will talk about food in other podcasts, so I'm not going to lay this on very thick here, but I believe bread is a wonderful, fabulous gift from a God who knows how to nourish the mortal body. In my little valley is a Seventh-day Adventist farm, and I've had the great pleasure of volunteering in their bakery for the last 2 years. It's been a wonderful experience. The God I know is a microbiologist. Number 7. I got home from a trip to town the other day, and my husband walked up to the truck before I got out and said, "You know how life doesn't always turn out the way it was planned?" I instantly started wondering what was going wrong. And then he said, "There is a skunk in the chipmunk trap." Oh, no way. What do you do? Of course, we looked it up on the internet and solved the problem. But oh my gosh, do you think there was a little mischief in his eye when Jesus created the skunk? Of all the defensive measures an animal could have, who thought it would be fun to create an animal that defends itself with a giant fart? Okay, I know it's a scent gland, but still. The God I know has a sense of humor. Number 8, last but not least, the Jesus I know is a long, cold, thirst-quenching drink of water. He is the pounding waves of the ocean, the still reflective surface of a lake, and my personal favorite, the ever-flowing water of a river. Let me end with a scripture. This is from the ESV translation of the Bible, but I changed the pronoun. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of her heart will flow rivers of living water." John 7:38. The God I know can quench my thirst as well as the longings of my heart. I hope all of you will find your own way of deliberately celebrating, glorifying, and exalting our Savior Jesus Christ this season. If you like texting or posting anywhere on social media, you are welcome to share my list, or better still, make up your own. And if you enjoy the Creative Spiritual Journey podcast, please share it with a friend. And if you are so inclined, leave us a 5-star review. That's the only way this podcast will grow. And as the dawning breaks, may all your Easter parts be full of light. Namaste.